Well, let's everybody say hi, Joy, and wave at Joy at the back in the corner. Hi, Joy. Welcome back. Joy had a long stay at two hospitals. So good you're home, Joy. Yay! Let's also remember some of our other folks that can't make it because of illness. Let's remember Maria. If you feel led to give Maria a call, I'm sure she would appreciate it this week. You know, it's been a long haul since she's been able to be here. So let's remember Maria. Let's also remember Dean, who, you know, he's not often able to come. So if you feel led to give Dean a call and let him know that you're remembering him, praying for him, that would be great. There's others. I saw Sadie was here last week. I didn't get a chance to say hi to her. But let's remember the people, because of illness, can't be here and have that natural connection point. Let's remember them. So there's several of them among us. So Lord Jesus, what's that? Rosslyn, Bev, Paul and Katie Hofer, there's many. So Lord, we lift them up to you. We thank you for our body, Lord, that we are connected to one another. Lord, we ask that you'd help us to remember the parts of the body that need a phone call, need special care. Lord, would you fill us with just an awareness of how to love one another with your love. And so, Jesus, bless them today. Each one who couldn't be here, be with Ian and Christina in a special way, and Lucas and Grace and Gordon Mary, Lord, just be with them in their time of joy as well. Bless them all. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, I spoke on Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you weren't able to be here, I'm just give you a... not even a really quick synopsis. Basically, Deuteronomy chapter 8 was a part of a speech that Moses gave when the Israelites were on the threshold of the Promised Land. And Moses was taking time as one who would not lead the people of Israel into their future. He was taking time to remind them of the things that the Lord had done. And not only to remind them of the things that he had done, but also to exhort them to carefully obey all that he had instructed them to do. And he was doing this in the hopes that as they came into the Promised Land, that they would flourish and that they would not forget the Lord their God who had delivered them from slavery. So we spent time just meditating of what life looks like on the threshold. Sometimes we get into similar places in our lives. We talked about this week where we're at a point where it feels like we're in a major life transition. Definitely, Brent and Barbara, you're feeling this way in these days, where you're feeling like there's things to come, unknown, maybe scary, maybe uncertain things that God has in store for us. Kind of like the Israelites going into the Promised Land. Well, in these threshold times, it's important for us to remember rightly, to look back and remember what the Lord has done, how he has acted faithfully and powerfully on our behalf. And remember that he who has been faithful will continue to be faithful, and that he will lead us into all that he has for us. And we need to enter whatever we're going into the Lord's will with that confidence. Amen? Yeah, you know, you're not convincing me. Amen? Right, we need a little... Well, today, I want to kind of springboard that off of that idea, but I'd like to do this as a church. Today, this week, our elders sat together and prayed, and we feel like we want to let you as our church community in on the things that the Lord is speaking to us as an eldership and do a vision cast. We want to share with you, we want to kind of pull a Moses in a sense at this threshold of a new ministry year, but also as on the threshold of more. We want to look back and remember what the Lord's done, but also we want to look forward and say, Lord, what are you saying to us about the things that you're calling us into as a fellowship? So today, we're going to do a bit of a looking back and remembering the faithfulness of God, remembering where he's brought us, and then we're going to look forward into the coming season of ministry. By the way, by threshold, I don't just mean that we're at the beginning of a new ministry season. That's true. September is kind of the kickoff of our ministry season. Our house groups begin. A lot of our ministries kind of kick into high gear. But it's not just a new ministry season we're sensing as elders. We really believe, and we're sensing that the Lord's bringing us into a new season in general in our ministry. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit and talk about our church being in a period of transition. And what does that mean and what does that look like? So hopefully this will all make sense. We'll definitely open it up for questions later. In order to do this, I'd like to share a little bit about my personal journey coming to Trinity, because I want to be able to relate back to that. And I know not all of you were here when I came to Trinity way back in March 2010, but many of you were. And so I just want to remind us, what has the Lord done? Michelle and I and our children came to Trinity in March 2010. Here's a picture of what we looked like back then. That was actually 2011. Sometimes I forget my kids were kids when we came. And so they've basically grown through their teen years and became adults here at Trinity Baptist. It's pretty cool. I had more hair, less gray, so I'm going to just say you guys are to blame for that. Okay, it's my teenagers. No, it's the wisdom, let's just say that. Amen. We came as a result, we came to Trinity in 2010 as a result of a very clear call from the Lord. And in order to explain that, I need to give you even a little further background. Because our call to Trinity was unexpected. It was quite unexpected. When I was young, and when I was 19 and I received my first call to ministry, I never, ever imagined that I would be here. And that's important for us to know, that God can call us into unexpected places, that we might have a plan for the future. We might have a plan. We might have an idea of what God's going to do. But God is absolutely able to take us on unexpected paths. And let me tell you, coming to Trinity was an unexpected, unforeseen path for me. You see, when I was 19 and I received my first call to ministry, I had received a call to Living Bible Explorers, an inner city ministry. And I was working among boys and young men from broken homes, youth that were at risk of poverty, incarceration, crime. I worked with gang members. It was a very different church that I was working with. And I was passionately engaged in ministry. I thought I would be there the rest of my life. I loved my work. But over those 8 years at LBE, God began to speak to my heart. You see, as I was working with these young men, I became aware that God's heart was that His Spirit would move in His church so that these young men would have a place of spiritual family and nurture and discipleship. And I knew that that was missing. I saw that these young men, these young teens, these men from broken homes, they oftentimes weren't able to integrate into local fellowships. The church barrier between their culture and our church culture was just too big. And I said, God, something needs to change and something needs to be done. And I began to feel a passion to be involved in church ministry in such a way that young men like that would find family and discipleship. And so 8 years into my time at LBE, I launched from that ministry and I entered into church ministry with the desire to be equipped in that kind of ministry. And so in, I guess it was about 2000, I became an elder, a lay pastor at West End Christian Community. And Rob Barron was willing to teach and to train me how to do pastoral ministry. And so for 10 years, I was kind of in that yoke of learning and training. It was really, really good. It was a very good time. I had two dreams during my time at LBE I'd like to share with you, because God has spoken to me prophetically along the way. God does this. God actively directs his people, and we shouldn't be surprised when God breaks into our reality and changes our course, and he did that very clearly during my time at LBE. I had two dreams during that time that radically changed the course of my life. In the first dream, Michelle and I were mowing these two little lawns in front of LBE. They're no longer there. It's like interlocking brick, but we were mowing these lawns. And then all of a sudden we turned the corner. If you know the LBE building, we turned the corner to this strip of grass on the side of the building, and it turned into this big park. It was just kind of transformed. And we kind of looked at each other. We realized that these little lawnmowers weren't going to do the job. So we went into the LBE building, and that changed too. All of a sudden the building was completely different. It was like large facility, and we went in, and both of us were given two riding mowers with fertilizer units on the back, and we got on and we went back outside, and we were like driving through the parkland. But what the Lord very clearly spoke to my heart was that he had called me personally into pastoral ministry, but that pastoral ministry was linked to my call at LBE, that I had a call to bring pastoral ministry into that context, and that he would expand that in me in my life. And I've seen that. I really feel that dream has come to pass, that I've been grown in my learning and my understanding. I'm still growing, I can tell you that. So much to learn. But I can tell you that God has really fulfilled that dream and that calling. In the second dream, I went into a wood shop. And it was kind of like a place you'd store wood or tools. And as I went in, there were young men lining the walls, and they were stripped to the waist and muscular, able-bodied men. And yet I could tell something was wrong with their eyes were empty, they had no purpose, and there was primitive tools laying all around, wooden mallets and chisels. And the Lord spoke in the dream. He said to me clearly, I want you to teach these men how to use these tools. And boom, I woke up. That dream has always remained with me, because I really believe that the Lord, one of the keys in our city and one of the keys in our in the families that from our inner city is that young men would take their place, that God would get a hold of them and equip them in being husbands and fathers and spiritual leaders in their community. And so as I went from LBE and into pastoral ministry, I was looking and saying, Lord, teach me how to learn these skills as a pastor. Okay, so why did I share all that with you? Because when all of a sudden the call came to come here, that's what I was thinking about. That's what I was looking at. And so when the Lord called us here, I was like, that doesn't seem to fit. I thought I would be involved in maybe church planting ministry in the inner city. The last thing I thought I would be doing is pastoring an established congregation, that I would be helping a church through a transition, that we would be doing this kind of ministry. But the Lord made our call here so absolutely clear, undeniable. All we could do is say, yes, Lord. And I could tell you that story. I'd love to tell you that story. If you weren't around in those days, it's quite a story. But it was a year and a half process in which the Lord over and over and over and over again said, I'm calling you to Trinity Baptist Church. He did it through strangers giving us prophetic words. I got to tell you one story. My favorite story is, I had just come to preach here. We were doing pulpit supply on a Sunday morning, and the next day I was going to my day job. I was working at Nijimakwa as an educational assistant, and I got on the bus, and I was going down Arlington and about to turn left on Logan, and I was just in that place where I was like, I was ready to say yes. All of what I thought I would be doing, I was ready to lay down, and I just needed to hear that it was Trinity. Is it Trinity, Lord? I was asking that question. Is it Trinity? And in that moment, you know that little voice that comes on the bus that tells you your next stop? Says, Logan and Trinity, Logan and Trinity. And I said out loud, shut up. Like, it was like the voice. I never heard that before. I usually ignore those. You know, I don't know about you, but I tune out the next stop, you know, voices. But it was just like, at the moment I asked, is it Trinity? It was like, boom. And sure enough, I never even knew there was a Trinity Street. But there is a tiny little Trinity Street right on Logan. You can find it for yourself. Very cool. But we had confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. And so we came and we said, okay, Lord, yes. But guess what? I had no idea what I was going to do. It literally was us coming and then saying, Lord, we weren't preparing for this. All the things I thought I knew how to do was in a different context. So the Lord brought us in with fear and trembling. And I have to say, Trinity Baptist, thank you. Because it was a time of life of great uncertainty. And you were so supportive. And we had lots to learn. And I just remember Jake in that. It was so gracious. God gave me Jake during that transition. And Floyd, you were a big part of those years. And it was just a rich, rich time. Pierre, you know, those were times of deep, rich equipping for me. And I learned so much during that time. Trinity at that time was at a different threshold. Our fellowship needed to go through a process of generational transition where God would raise up a next generation to move Trinity forward into the future. And as we came to Trinity, we felt a desperation to hear from the Lord in that. And I know you had a desperation to hear from the Lord in that. And I just felt like today we just needed to stand and go, thank you, Lord, because he's done so many good things in the last 8 years. He's brought us through a large part of that transition. We're in a good place, church. I mean, we're not perfect, and we've long ways to go. But wow, like, think about where the Lord's brought us. We need to remember the faithfulness of God. Could we do that? Could we just soak in that a bit? Thank you, Lord. It's been good. Not easy, but it's been good. I'm very grateful to the Lord that he provided on every level. As we came, we were received with open arms. We found a church of vibrant faith. They love to party. Can you see that one? That's from Kyle and Ashley's wedding. That's Kenny dancing. I'm in the back. Paul is grooving. Lois. That's not as good a picture as I hoped it'd be. But Trinity loves to party. Well, let's remember this, folks. You know, that's something of our legacy. There's a joy of the Lord that we need to hang on. It's a legacy thing. Sometimes we get so serious about doing ministry, we forget to enjoy one another. Let's remember to enjoy. Let's dance together, laugh together, play games together. Even when Jake was passing away, we would come and we'd laugh together and sing together and play games together. That's who we are. We love one another through life. And that's something that I learned here. I think that's one of the reasons the Lord brought me here. I needed to learn how to be, not just do. I was so serious in ministry. And I just needed to, like, loosen up, put my dancing shoes on a bit. Yeah? I still can't believe y'all, like, did this to my porch. I was like 2012 or 13. I got a total porch reno. Michelle and I were, and kids were out in Poland teaching English, and we came home and our porch was completely redone. We've been thoroughly and abundantly blessed. During the first year, I spent a lot of time in prayer, seeking God and for direction. He gave me two words in my first year: prayer and adoption. Prayer and adoption. basically what the Lord was saying is, don't go in and make lots of changes. Make sure there's regular corporate prayer. That's the lampstand. Keep the flame for the presence of God lit at Trinity Baptist. That's what I'm calling this fellowship to, is the presence of God in the city. And so there's a call to prayer at Trinity Baptist that needs to continue. And I felt that very clearly from the Lord, prayer. And we prayed faithfully. It's the most faithful thing we've done. The second word was adoption. Adoption. It was a time where I know the Trinity needed to adopt us as leaders, but we needed to adopt Trinity as leaders. But it was also a time where we knew that Trinity needed to become a place of adoption. So we knew that we needed to establish home groups so that newcomers could become integrated and adopted into the family. And the Lord's helped us with that. We have a home group ministry that is a place where people can come and build relationships and connect with others. But more than that, there's a spirit of adoption here that we hear again and again. We don't do it perfectly, but we hear again and again that as people come in, they're adopted into the fellowship. Well, the Lord's been faithful. Not only has He established prayer and house groups, but He's blessed us with children and children's ministry. We've grown in number and in strength. This isn't us, guys. This is the Lord. That's what I feel like I need to say today. This is not to our credit. The Lord's done it even despite us. Amen? The Lord's done it. He's answered our prayers. He's heard our cries. It's not that we've got the best strategy as a church, but the Lord is blessing us. Along the way, we added Kenny into our staff, first part-time, then more and more until he was full-time, and he's doing a fantastic job. I got to tell you, over this last year, Kenny's anointing has kind of gone from here to here. And I'm seeing so much growth in Kenny as a leader. And God's blessed me so much. Like, there's so much strength in him. And so I just want to bless you, Kenny. Yeah, you're doing a great job, man. All right, so what about this year? That's kind of looking back. I just wanted to spend some time looking back and remembering what the Lord's done. And declaring the faithfulness of God. Well, as many of you know, 2017 was a tough year for us. My sister passed away. I had some back problems. Also, Kenny and Paula's health took a hit during last year. And it was a tough year for many families in our church. But this January, I felt as though I was awakening to new things again. I was coming alive. Have you ever experienced that in life where you just think, this is how things are going to be for the rest of my life. And all of a sudden, you're like, wait, maybe not. And it's like almost like an awakening happens. And during this time, Michelle and I were at a pastor's and spouse's retreat out in Russell. And I took some time with the spiritual director. And God spoke to my heart. And I realized that many of the things that God had called us to do at Trinity had been accomplished. Like my bathroom reno here, any renovators in the house? You know when you get to that first phase, you know there's a lot of work yet to come, but you get through phase one, demolition, or whatever that first phase is, you get it complete and you're like, all right, got her done, right? And it felt like that moment in January. I remember going to Steinbach with Andrew, and Andrew's like, we go into this huge church, Southland, and Andrew's like, hey, are you ever jealous about places like this? And I was, my standard answer is like, oh, I would never want to pastor a church like that. And then I felt like the Lord kind of speak to my heart and say, yeah, but it's not about what you want. Have you asked me what I want? And all of a sudden, God just kind of, not that we're going to become like a big Southland or anything, but I just felt like God just wanted to expand my heart and say, well, what if? What if I want to do something bigger than you can ever ask or imagine? Are you open to that? Are you willing? And I got rebuked by the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, my heart's beginning, I got to tell you, my heart's beginning to open up to new vision, new dreams. And a lot of them are connected to original callings. Things are awakening. At our Elders and Wives retreat, the elders and wives watched me kind of blow apart at the end emotionally as God kind of opened up my heart to new things. It's very exciting to me. Michelle tells me I'm different at home. Something's changing in me. And it's not a bad different, don't worry. I'm not yelling at her more or anything. But what I sense is that the things that God had established at Trinity is for something. Do you hear what I'm saying? That over these last 8 years, it's not been for nothing. Right? We've been laboring, we've been working together. The Lord is establishing something that is for something. Something that we're on the threshold of something that He's calling us into. And I can't tell you what that is in any sort of super clarity, but what I'd like to do this morning is to share with you the words that we're operating out of. What is the Lord saying to us? Because this needs to be a corporate discernment process. It's not up to me to hear from the Lord or the elders to hear from the Lord alone. It's up to all of us to hear from the Lord. And so we just wanted to share what the Lord's been speaking to us, and we want to invite us into a time of discernment. You with me? All right. So what's the Lord been saying? Well, we received two words this spring. Who can tell me what these two words were this spring? We've shared them already. Build the nursery. That's right. The first word was build the nursery. I picked a nursery picture with the word welcome in it. And it wasn't like, okay, guys, it's time to do a physical renovation of the Trinity building so we can have more room for babies. Well, babies are coming, clearly. But we felt like the Lord is wanting to prepare us practically and spiritually for spiritual babies coming into our midst so that we're ready to take babies from conversion and into discipleship and maturity and equipping, that God wants us to be a disciple-making ministry. A baby-raising ministry. Can I hear an amen? Is there an amen inside? These are the very things that were in my heart when I said yes to the Lord. When I left LBE, I wanted Him to train me to be a disciple maker. I wanted to be a part of a church that was dedicated, devoted to learning how to be a corporate disciple-making body. And when this word build the nursery came this spring, it hit me. Like an atomic bomb. Something blew up inside of me. Something awakened with that word. And I'm so excited. We had a second picture that went with it, and it was a picture of a sprinkler on the top of, can you imagine a little sprinkler head up there? And the person who had the vision saw Jesus touch the sprinkler and water started pouring out on us as a church. And our sense is that there's a connection between the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and this call to make disciples, to build the nursery. That the Holy Spirit knows that we will need Him to empower us in this work. And He plans to pour out His Spirit upon us in that place. Amen? Okay, so those are the words that came to us this spring, and these are the words we as elders and elders' wives carried into August, where we always, every August we come together, we have an elders and wives retreat. And so those were the words we took into our elders and wives retreat. And we came in asking the question, Lord, so what does that look like practically? What does that mean for this coming ministry year? How do we at Trinity build the nursery? How do we operate in a way that your Spirit is poured out on our church? Well, when we got to our elders and wives retreat, it felt like that agenda just went out the window at first. When we arrived at the retreat, we always spend some time in heart sharing. And Kenny had a word he was coming in with, and the word was, tend your vineyard. Tend your vineyard. It was a word from the Lord for us as elders and wives, and that word hit us hard. And the Lord asked us to, where are things at spiritually? In the vineyard of our relationship between us and the Lord, how are we doing? Is there fruitfulness in our relationship? Is our spiritual relationship with the Lord overgrown with weeds and brambles? Or have we been tending to the garden of our relationship with the Lord? That was the first place the Lord took it. We realized many of us were cut to the heart and convicted and led into repentance in that place. The second place the Lord took it was our marriages. And man, that hit hard. We realized there was work to be done between husband and wife, and there was repentance that happened at our elders and wives retreat. There was heart sharing. There was a confession, repentance. We ended up washing one another's feet as husbands and wives. It was a beautiful, powerful, painful, beautiful time. It was one of those, times you don't want to go through very often because the Lord called us as elders on the carpet. I just have to say that. The Lord called us as elders on the carpet and really said, how's your marriages? And are you tending the vineyard of your heart towards your wives and wives to your husbands? It's a beautiful time. It was a very holy time. It was a very precious time. The Lord kind of took our agenda off, and it was amazing. But what we realized later in the retreat was that there was a connection between the call to build the nursery and the question of how's our relationships going, right? Because God doesn't want babies to be born into dysfunctional families. Amen? He wants the places where he's bringing lost and broken and people who are walking in darkness, he's wanting to bring them into places where there's love in the house, where marriages are flourishing, where friendships, godly friendships, are connected with bonds of love. And so we really felt compelled to share this with you. By the way, if you're not married, you're not off the hook. We actually felt like this was a call to all of our relationships at Trinity Baptist. That we've been called into covenant relationship as a people of God. And so the question to all of us is how's your vineyard between you and the Lord? And secondly, how's your vineyard between you and your spouses, but also your brothers and sisters in Christ? Where are your relationships at? Because God's saying, if I'm going to come and I'm going to entrust to you these precious babies, I want to make sure that this is a loving family. Amen? That there's a heart of nurture and care, that there's a place here that can grow and develop people in the faith. And so we wanted to pass that along to you. We feel like this is the first and foremost. This is the place it starts. Tend your vineyard, people. What does that mean in your household? What does that mean in your relationship with the Lord? What does that mean in your relationship with your brothers and sisters? We commend you to go away and pray about that. Ask the Lord. Pierre probably said it best at the retreat. He said, it just feels like we're going through the motions. We're going through the motions. And we felt that danger as elders and wives. We felt the danger that in the things that God has established as a church, we could just stay in the comfort of that. But we felt like the Lord say, I want to do a new thing. Don't get stuck in the rut of going through the motions. I want to animate and excite you for the things that are in my heart. But if you want to enter that place, it starts with tending your vineyard. Where are things at with me? Where are things at with one another? Start there. Do you receive that, church? Do you receive that? Like a married couple that can go for years after the first flush of the honeymoon phase of marriage, and after a while you can end up going through the motions. Marriages need to be renewed. Every relationship needs to be renewed. And so we feel like the Lord's inviting you and exhorting us as a church to renew our relationships with one another and with Him, to break out of ruts. In that, I felt like I needed to give one last sort of pitch to house groups. This Thursday, we're going to be putting the house groups together on Thursday night. The house group leaders are putting that together. And if today the Holy Spirit's saying, you know what? I want to make a way for you to get into house group. If you're not already committed, we'd like to hear from you. We'd just even like to discuss that. We just feel like the Lord wants to tighten up our relationships. And that's one of the ways that He does it here. So if that's you, come and talk to us before Thursday, or reach out to Kenny before Thursday. But also, those of us who are in house groups, don't just go. Go. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't just go bodily, take up space, and go home. Engage relationally. Engage with what the Lord is doing. Connect deeply with the brothers and sisters. Give of yourself into one another's lives. This is a year for us to build and forge family together. So let's give ourselves to one another in this coming year. Amen? Do we hear that call? What does that look like? Think and pray through that. God cares about our love for one another, again, because He wants us to have spiritual babies, and He wants those babies to be born into loving families. There are a few other things that we felt out of the Elders and Wives Retreat. We felt that there was a few postures that God's calling us into in this. One is a posture of worship. We believe that the Lord is calling us or inviting us into a time of worship and repentance. And what that really looks like is really looking at our lives and asking the question, are we living in our own strength, by our own capacities? And we really heard the Lord call us to obedience and repentance in that, to a place where we're laying down our lives. And the word to us is that the Lord will lift us up. As we lay our lives down before Him in worship, the Lord will empower and lift us up. And so that was a real clear word the Lord gave us, to courageously open up our hearts, allow Him to break things in us. Self-dependency, self-sufficiency, allow the Lord to break off those things, the places you walk alone and in your own strength. The Lord's inviting us into a place of repentance there, a place of laying down and being humbled before His mighty hand. Simon was filled with the Holy Spirit at the Elders and Wives Retreat. She gave a word that came by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to read it out because I feel like it needs to be read corporately. This is what the Lord said to us. My children, I have brought you into this place of weakness and barrenness and failure. Remain in that position that you're in because it is a place where I can fill with my Spirit. You can do nothing on your own except by my Spirit. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Cast all your fears on Him because He cares for you. You receive that, church? Our exhortation as elders is this: come to church ready to worship. And when I see come to church, I'm not talking just like Sunday morning. Come to your relationship with one another with a readiness to worship the Lord, to obey Him, to humble yourselves before Him. Yes, on Sunday morning we come together. That's one of those places. Come ready. Engage with the Lord. Allow Him to do a new thing. Be expectant. The second posture we felt like the Lord called us to is a posture of faith. So posture of worship, but also a posture of faith. We really feel like the Lord wants to encourage us to dream in this coming year, to consider that He has things beyond us, beyond what we can ask or imagine. He wants to draw us. Yes, He wants us to come humbly, but he also wants to awaken faith in us. And we sense that's happening already. Like, I'm talking to people, and there's a new faith for evangelism growing in our midst. God's stirring something very, like, organically. You might think you're the only person here who's saying, yeah, I feel like God's stirring me about sharing my faith with my neighbor, my coworkers. Actually, we're hearing that quite a bit at Trinity. The Holy Spirit's stirring something. But in that place, we want to encourage you to allow the Lord to stir faith, to consider that God might call you into function or into something new, that he may have a place for you that you don't see right now, that this year might mean some new things. And so we want to encourage you to come into this year with a posture of faith that God might have something for you that you don't see right now. Could we do that, church? Some of you need to be engaged in new things. Ask the Lord what it is. Some of you need to lay some things down. Ask the Lord what that is. Seek the Lord for those things. We don't know what this next phase of ministry will look like yet. We don't actually know what it means to build the nursery, practically speaking, yet. But we feel what's happening is that the Lord's actually the one who's going to build it. And it's going to come together as each part listens to the Holy Spirit. So we all need to have a posture of faith. Amen? We all need to be open to what the Holy Spirit, because it's He who is building His church. He says, unless the Lord builds His church, we labor in vain. Folks, we could have lots of great ideas for the coming year, but we want the Lord to be the one who builds the church. On practical levels, we just wanted to mention a few things. We do plan to finish the book of Revelation. We're going to start that. nervous laughter. Mike knows he's on that preaching rotation. That's why he's nervously laughing. Don't worry, we'll just give you the millennium, Mike. But we as elders, that was something that came, we felt, all of us elders were united in that. We felt like we need to finish that strong. But we're planning to get it done by Advent. Okay, and we really feel the Lord's given us a passion for where to go from there as in Advent. We really feel God's stirring us up regarding the Word of God. And so that'll probably be our Advent theme, the Word of God. As we enter into this new season, we know that God may call you to new things, but I want to share a dream Shane had at our Elders and Wives retreat. Shane woke up with a dream, and I feel like it's an instructive dream. He was at his work site. Y'all know that Shane does renos. He renovates apartments. And he said in this dream, usually you have to measure and cut the boards to fit. But he said it was weird because as he noticed that the boards were already cut and that there was places for them to fit already. And we really believe the Lord's going to do that. That there is not going to be, don't look for things that are really hard this year. Look for what the Lord's already doing. Look where the places He's cut for you. And we'll just discern that together. Amen? But we need an atmosphere of faith to discern that. And so as you're considering what the Lord has for you this year, know that the Lord has got a place prepared for you. He's cut you to size, and He's just going to fit you in the place He's prepared. Amen? Whew. Well, that was a lot. How you feeling? You got questions? Questions in that? That's all we got so far, by the way. So if you were hoping for a well-laid plan, that's what the Lord's got. That's what we heard as elders and wives. But I'll get to that yet. But first, questions. Any questions? One thing. Don't think. Oh, did somebody raise their hand? No. Virginia? Oh, go ahead, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Did everybody hear that? No? Virginia was saying that this morning during worship, the Lord kind of showed her that sometimes people buy a new house that's already fixed up, but sometimes you buy a fixer-upper, and she heard the Lord say it's okay to be a fixer-upper, and that the Lord shared with her that he wants to come into that place and be the one who fixes us up in our hearts, and definitely is in line with what we're feeling. Absolutely. Yeah. Any other questions or, yeah, maybe other words? Yeah, Brent. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to come back yet to the... Do you remember the three? No. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Good. Kenny, do you know those? Is radical hospitality, amazing love, and something generosity. Yeah, it was. I think it was the radical hospitality, something generosity. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good. No, we're not there yet. No. Yeah. Amen. Thanks, Brent. Good word. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for reminding us of that word, because I think that is going to be a significant how to build the nursery word. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Brent. Any other questions? Well, thank you for your patience. I just want to end with this thought. Let's remember that we're on a threshold, like the Israelites going into an unknown place. Let's remember that we're in a threshold time, which is sometimes a fearful time, a time of uncertainty. But just like the Israelites were called to trust, to remember what the Lord has done, and to trust in the faithfulness of God, so we too need to remember all that the Lord has done. Because the reason for that is as the Lord leads us to remember rightly, we will find the very things that we'll need at this place. You see, because God has brought you here for something. Do you hear that? I want to say that again. God has drawn you to this place for something. It's for a purpose. Do you believe that? Can we say amen to that? God has brought us together as a people for something. He's joined us together for something. And so all the struggles and all the good and all the stuff we encountered in the wilderness and in the place of slavery, all of that is for something. Can you connect with that? Just that faith? Yes, Lord. All the struggles I've been through, all the uncertainties, all, like, connect with that. It's for something. And at that threshold, we need to believe that he who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it in Christ Jesus. Let me say that again. He who began that good work in you, he who's brought you to this place, he's the one who is faithful to complete it. Could we stand together? I want to pray into that. Lord, we want to bring to you this morning all of our remembrances. And we want to ask, Lord, that you would show us why you've brought us to this place. What are you doing, Lord? Lord, we ask that you would awaken our hearts to become expectant of your plans and purposes unfolding in the coming days and weeks and months. We ask, Lord, that you would keep us from the pitfalls of fear. Lord, we give you our fears regarding the uncertainties that lay ahead. We ask, Lord, that you would remove a spirit of fear from our hearts. Lord, we ask that you would bring us into a posture of worship, of complete surrender, complete submission to your will and your ways. Help us, Lord. Give us faith to believe. And Lord, we ask that you would also give us a spirit of faith, a posture of faith in our hearts, that you would awaken new dreams, the things that you want to do among us and through us. Lord, we say, have your way. Have your way. Lord, in the coming season of ministry, Lord, we want to lay down the idea that we have control. Jesus, you are the one who has the kingdom and the power and the glory. You are the one who can do abundantly, exceedingly, extravagantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. Lord, you are the one who holds the blueprint for our church and its future. We thank you for speaking to us, Lord, and guiding us. Lord, we ask that you'd help us to obey and that we would hear for our parts in this, Lord. Lord, we put our confidence in you. Would you just kind of open your hands? I'm going to bless you. If you would like to receive prayer after I bless you, I know we've gone long, so I'm going to bless you and release you, but if you want to come forward for prayer in this somehow, maybe you're working out something. Lord, what is it you've got for me? Or there's something you're working through, you want prayer, come forward and I'm just going to ask the elders and wives if you'll be up here to pray, okay? If we could be a part of praying for others. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead, the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us, his church, his people, what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Go in peace.